My Real Estate for Chisholm and Gayman, at home in Port Melbourne, Black Rock, Elwood and Mount Martha.
Good morning, Torsten Casper.
Good morning, Eddie.
How are you today?
Eddie, I'm fantastic, feeling like a new man. I've got rid of that flu that I had, as you know.
Oh, finally.
Finally, the horseradish, vitamin C and echinacea were the tricks. Far more powerful than the antibiotics.
Really?
And there's another secret weapon.
Go on.
Oysters.
Oysters?
6 oysters every third day.
And it helped.
And do you know why?
Why?
Zinc. It's the most highest natural zinc in the food chain.
Well, there you go.
So I didn't believe it, but I had a client of mine say, do this for 2 weeks.
And it helped.
And I'm not sure which, but I'm going with it.
Good on you. Now, we're talking about my favourite topic today.
We are indeed, property management, and it's a great flow on and a segue from last week's negative gearing show.
Because indeed.
How do you negative gear? You buy an investment property.
Yep.
And the next phase is to buy that property and then hopefully rent that property.
And this week we'll talk residential property management.
Residential property management.
Okay, where do we start?
So, Eddie, I guess the first point of call is to actually find the investment property. So what we want to do is make sure that we're finding something that's well located to transport, that is going to have indoor and outdoor. So I'm really a big fan of something that has a balcony, so you've got that indoor-outdoor relationship.
Yes.
Something that's not in too large a building as well, so that there aren't...
If it's an apartment.
If it's an apartment.
Yeah.
Something that has natural light, so there's a good orientation to it.
Mm-hmm.
And importantly, parking, if there is parking.
Parking's vital.
Particularly in the inner suburban streets. Obviously, there are certain exceptions to the rule. If there are properties that are in Melbourne where there's wider streets, where they've got a lot of angled parking.
Yes.
And the suburb actually can show that it doesn't affect the rents too much by not having parking. And
yes.
So they're all the things that you want to have a look at.
What are the suburbs traditionally that will give you a higher yield for your rental property?
Look, I think that it's more the inner suburban grids around public transport that actually are tending to have, because you've got people working in the CBD, you've got people wanting to be within close proximity of universities, activity centres, so
yep.
Say for example Frankston, Dandenong, Box Hill,
right,
and then for Bayside, where our offices are, obviously from our point of view,
that's lifestyle.
There's a lifestyle and proximity to the city.
Yes.
So it is really important.
What about Port Melbourne?
Well, Port Melbourne's incredibly popular because it's a very short distance into town. So you have a lot of people that work in the CBD that want that lifestyle, that can want the convenience of hopping onto a light rail, so they're not even having to go through roads that are stoplighted. You've actually got the light rail that just works its way through straight into the city.
As opposed to somewhere like Mount Martha?
We're finding that Mount Martha is starting to become a destination point for renters that actually are wanting to trial the area before they buy down there.
Okay.
The freeway has certainly had an impact on that potential for people to actually work in Melbourne or
yes.
work in some of the activity centres that we've talked about.
Mm-hmm.
A great piece of advice that we've said in previous shows, if you are making a dramatic change, so if it's interstate, sea change, tree change,
yep.
go and rent for 12 months so that you can actually see that it is really what you want. Because sometimes what we find is what appears to be the perfect lifestyle when you're on holiday, the reality of living in that area may not be what you think.
Indeed. Okay, I've gone to Chisholm and Gayman. I've bought my little 3-bedroom unit in Sandringham, for example.
Yes.
Where do we start?
Okay, so once you've bought that, then the question to ask your Chisholm and Gayman property manager, is this presenting in its best light for attracting the highest and best quality grouping of tenants?
Yes.
So it might be that we need to update the blinds. It might be that we need to polish floorboards and remove carpets.
Fresh coat of paint.
Fresh coat of paint. We might need to put a bigger mirror in and remove the daggy, smaller little mirror cabinets and actually put some better cupboard space into the bathrooms. It might be as simple as just resurfacing an old bath and respraying that, getting rid of the 70s or 80s or 90s coloured tiles and spraying those with a white enamel. So just neutralising the actual presentation.
Kitchen?
The kitchen bench tops may need updating. It might just be the handles on the actual kitchen cabinetry.
Right.
It might be going from a coloured stove to stainless steel.
Mm.
Dishwasher. Have we got a dishwasher? Now, the other aspect, which is a really simple one, which we have mentioned a few months back, Eddie, as far as points of difference, air conditioning and heating is not a plus one anymore, it's an equaliser. So for those landlords out there, if you haven't got heating or cooling in your properties, ask your property manager to get you the quote, because it's becoming a very important point of difference.
This is My Real Estate. We'll be back shortly.
My Real Estate for Chisholm and Gayman, at home in Port Melbourne, Blackrock, Elwood and Mount Martha.
This is My Real Estate, all thanks to Chisholm and Gayman. We know Bayside. 95311245 is the one central number to call. If you're calling from interstate, just pop an 03 in front of that. You might be wanting to buy a residential property or an investment property. Bayside 03 95311245 is the number to call. You have four offices. Where are they?
We do. Mount Martha, Blackrock, Elwood and Port Melbourne.
And we continue talking residential property management.
We do, Eddie. So we've now looked at the presentation elements. You've got the advice from your trusted property management team. The next phase is the marketing. So you want to make sure that the company that you're picking is on the major websites. You want to make sure that you are getting professional photos, Eddie. This is, we're not in isolation. The amateur photos taken from the property manager's phone or their iPads are not good enough. You want to get professional photos. And just remember, one, the cost of that is tax deductible. And secondly, you can use it each time it becomes vacant.
Absolutely.
So it's an investment in the medium to long term.
It's the old saying, sell the sizzle, not the sausage.
Exactly right. Mm. Now, the other aspect to it also is, which is a fantastic new element that we're bringing into our property management team, is that often you'll find that the photos are of a empty property and they don't jump off the page as much as something that's got furniture. There is now technology that we're able to offer our potential landlords and our landlords that digitally put in furniture in the main shots for you.
Are you allowed to do that though? Remember that whole issue in regards to photoshopping pictures?
The issues arise where landlords or developers or owners are trying to be deceptive in the imagery of the property. So,
right. Lampposts, for example.
Lampposts, yeah. Removing eyesores that are in front of neighbouring properties. They're the issues that they're looking at. But you're quite allowed to actually put in furniture because it's giving a version of what it will look like with furniture. So there's no issue.
And photography isn't the only thing. Videos are huge now, Torsten.
Videos are very good, particularly if you think that the property you've got will appeal to expats. It allows that to be sent via corporations to their staff that are moving interstate or from overseas. So that sort of element is something you need to have a chat to your property management team about. They would then get loaded onto the internet, onto the websites, and then you're then available for business. So we're then hunting for applications. And so that's the other aspect of it. So we then have an open for inspection on the weekend and obviously appointments during the course of the week. And what you're wanting to do is actually position your rental at a fair rental price that gets you the best quality of tenants. So
yes.
I always say to my clients, yes, there's a maximum rental there, but if you position yourself slightly under that, not a lot, we're talking $5 or $10 a week,
yep,
you'll gain a much better body of tenants or applicants, I should say.
Yes.
And also, by doing that, you also tend to find that the tenancy durations, the length of the lease, you'll often find they'll stay long because they don't feel that they're always at the tipping point at the highest end.
And the most important thing is to put down that you will stay for 13 months, not 12.
Well, depending on the time of the year. So, again, we have talked about this at Chisholm and Gayman. When we head to November and December, we either do a 13 or 14-month lease so that it doesn't expire over the Christmas period for our clients.
Yeah, it rolls over.
It rolls over. Hmm. So we've now found the perfect tenant. The property manager is recommended.
Well, what the property manager should do, and I'll jump in here.
Yes.
Let's say you get five applications. You process all those applications. You put those applications forward to the landlord. But something I always said, the final decision isn't mine as a property manager. It is always the landlord's final decision as to who they choose to offer the property to.
Exactly right. But there are certain landlords there that will want our team to make the decision
guidance
for them and guidance. So, and what tends to happen, you tend to find out of a grouping of five applications, two or three, because of just the depth of rental history, recommendations and why they've left previous properties, certainly creep to the top. So that's
yes.
so that feedback is passed on to the owner, and obviously sometimes it just becomes a fait accompli because there is a standout.
This is My Real Estate. We'll continue this discussion shortly.
My Real Estate for Chisholm and Gayman at home in Port Melbourne, Blackrock, Elwood and Mount Martha.
This is My Real Estate, all thanks to Chisholm and Gayman. We know Bayside, 95311245, the one central number to call. Outside Victoria, pop an 03 in front of that number, 03 95311245. Talking residential property management today, and we're talking about the length of the lease at the moment, Torsten.
We are indeed. So we given the timing, we said that you might extend what normally would be a 12-month lease to 13 or 14 months so you don't expire over Christmas. But there are certain properties where a client might be going overseas for 6 or 8 months, so you can have a 6 or 8 month lease as well.
Yes.
90% of the properties that we do rent are on a 12-month lease.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another point that a few clients that are new to owning properties often ask, because you have what we call a fixed term.
Yes.
And Eddie, we have what is called a
periodic tenancy.
Exactly right.
Which is month by month by month.
So that is a month by month for those that are not familiar with that term. So with the fixed
agreement. And the rules are different.
They are very different. So with the fixed agreement, we're locked into play with a periodic tenancy. It provides flexibility for both the tenant and the landlord, but you're not getting the security of a longer term lease.
Correct. In regards to a periodic tenancy, if the tenant wants to move on, they have to give you 28 days notice in writing.
Correct.
However, if a landlord would, for example, it was their principal place of residence and they want to move back into the property, from memory, correct me if I'm wrong, it is 60 days notice writing plus 3 days for postage.
Now 5 days. So
it's now 5 days.
So it's a roughly call it 65 days.
And that notice, always from memory, we issued it via registered post so that you could prove service.
So we're now hopefully heading into the age of the digital world, and we're hoping that will soon be allowed to be done via email.
Oh, really?
Mm.
How do you prove service then?
Again, that would be a reply receipt of a response to the, you can send an email that actually asks for an auto reply.
But certainly, that's an acceptable form.
We're hoping that'll be the future because it makes sense for both parties.
Absolutely.
So bond is the next aspect of that. It forms part of the actual tenancy agreement that we've got a bond that is there to protect your asset.
Yes.
That tends to be a calendar month's rent.
And people need to remember it's not held by the agent. The bond is held by the Residential Tenancies Bond Authority, and you make a bank check or money order out to the required amount to the RTBA.
That's correct. And then at the end of the tenancy, if everything is, if both sides are happy, that gets refunded within 14 days. If there is an issue, there can be a consent from the tenant for a certain amount to be removed from the bond. If there is an issue, you would go to VCAT and make a claim.
Absolutely. Okay, Torsten, let's talk about two important topics, urgent and non-urgent maintenance.
Eddie, two really good points, because as a landlord, you are now responsible to maintain your property to a certain level because you are receiving income, and there are certain things under the Residential Tenancies Act that you're obliged to actually maintain. So the urgent repairs are as deemed by the Residential Tenancies Act, where a tenant can organise repairs if it is deemed under that, if they can't get onto their landlord or the managing agent. Now, that amount, importantly, is $1,800.
Oh, it's gone up.
It has. So it's $1,800.
And traditionally, what was it always? The hot water service.
It was a hot water service, or it might be a gas leak.
Yes. A water leak.
A water leak. So those elements there, understand.
Electrical fault.
So,
and I'm talking about a dangerous electrical fault.
Exactly. So for those elements, again, at Chisholm and Gayman, we've got the full list of very fair emergency tradespeople, because when it gets out of our hands, you're at the mercy of someone taking advantage of that invoice.
Yeah.
And charging, which, as I say, they are working after hours or over weekends. So you want to make sure that there is a policy from the company that you're dealing with that does have a team looking after those repairs, and there is a number to call.
And quickly, non-urgent maintenance is a door handle falling off or something not working quite right. It's not urgent. Yeah. You can live with it. But certainly, under the terms of your lease, you'd still want it repaired. Make sure that all non-urgent items are given to your property manager, if it's at Chisholm and Gayman, in writing.
Exactly right, Eddie. And so that's a really good piece of advice there. The other, I guess, looking at the accounting aspect of things, Eddie, You're also will be getting a monthly statement sent to you.
Yes.
Again, with this digital age, we've got 80% of our clients are now receiving that via email.
Mm-hmm.
They collect that at the end of the year, and you have a summary at the end of each financial year for your accountant. That'll be able to have a look at the income coming through and the expenses from either any non-urgent or urgent repairs that have come in, and, of course, any other expenses, for example, body corporates, if
yes.
you're part of a body corporate, or any other services that are applied to. So that gives us a really good snapshot, Eddie.
Absolutely, Torsten, thank you. We'll do it all again next week with Sam in the studio.
He'll be back and tanned from the look of his photos.
Indeed. This has been My Real Estate.
Wherever you go, say hello.
1116 SEN, Melbourne's home of footy.